Well, it's pretty interesting to be here on Easter because I don't see all of you as often as I would love to. And Easter's just one of those days, you know, it's the can't-miss Sunday of the year. You know, for whatever reason, I love this, but our society has accepted that we go to church on Easter. And it brings its own set of opportunities and sometimes challenges. But what I love is that you're here and I get to see you. And I don't know a lot about all of you. You know, the people that I'm closest to here at Wildwood, I know pretty well. And typically we've had conversations. I know a little bit about their background and I know a little bit about stuff that they're going through now. And we kind of stay in contact with one another here. I'm one of four pastors here, and all four of us, we devote our time and our energy to not just being with the people who are here, but reaching out to other people. And so I will tell you on behalf of all four of us, we're thrilled that you're here today if you're not a regular attender. And because I don't know your background, I don't know what you've been taught or what you've been told, I don't want to make any false assumptions. I don't want to automatically assume that you know things that you might not know. So I want to give you a very quick overview of what we're celebrating today. Because when you hear things like Jesus being raised from the grave, and you don't have any background, it may sound like the most bizarre thing that you've ever heard, right? Like who believes in that? Why would I believe in that? And I totally get that. I understand from your perspective that we just lost you when we start from the fact that he rose from the grave. So again, let me give you a little bit of a background. And if you know all this stuff, you just bear with me, okay? So there's this guy named Jesus, right? And he's doing this great teaching. And when I say great teaching, it wasn't like he was this eloquent speaker or the delivery was perfect and his speaking was riveting. That's not what we read in Scripture. The Bible tells us that the things that he was saying, they were very compelling and they were powerful. Obviously, God was using Jesus in that capacity. And when he came and he was speaking, the things that he would share, quite frankly, contradicted the things that the religious community had been hearing. The religious leaders of this time, in Jesus' day, they were saying that in order for you to have a good relationship with God and inherit the kingdom of God, which means you when you pass from this earth, you get to go to heaven, provided you're good and you do a lot of good things. And so what they did was they said, you know, obedience is the key factor. You just have to obey, 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 obey. And they were so confident of this that they took the Ten Commandments. You know, some of you watched that on TV last night. They took the Ten Commandments and they said, they really don't explain themselves well enough for people to benefit. We're just going to expand on them. And so they came up with 100 different variations of those Ten Commandments. Just saying, you got to do this and you got to do this and you got to do this and you can't do this and you can't do this. And so they just lined it up. And they said, here's the deal. God sorts it all out at the end. And if you're good enough and you're obedient enough, you get to go to heaven. So just follow our example. Well, Jesus came along and he goes, no, that is not what it is. That is not the way you get into heaven. And so he starts teaching that people have to place their faith and trust in the Savior, which just happens to be him. Right. So he's teaching contradictory comments and remarks and teachings to what the religious leaders are teaching at that time. So and he's confronting them, you know, face to face anytime that they showed up places where he was speaking or sharing. So the religious leaders dislike this so much that the Bible says that even some of the factions of the religious leadership that didn't get along, which is like always the case, just so you know from the inside, like there's always times where religious leaders just don't see eye to eye. It's kind of a shameful thing. But in this particular case, it was very, very true. But they joined together and they just said, hey, we got to get this Jesus guy out of the picture. So what they decide to do is they're trying to trap him and get him to say something that will eventually allow them to make a false accusation so that they can convince the Roman rulers to crucify him and kill him based upon their desire that he's done. So that's what happens. They convince the Roman rulers that he should be crucified and that they want him, the religious people, they want him to be crucified. So that's what they do. They kill Jesus on a cross. They crucify him and they put him in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, the Bible says that when people came there to see him and actually do some things that you do with dead bodies at that time, he wasn't there anymore. That the stone had been rolled away, and an angel of the Lord is there, and he's saying, "Why are you here? You come where dead people are, but he's not dead. He is risen." So that's where we are in our celebration today of what God did through his son, Jesus Christ. And the reason that this is so incredible is the understanding of this teaching is life-changing. If you can embrace what I just told you and accept it as being truth, because it is, but obviously you've got to agree that that's what truth is, then the Bible says that you will spend eternity with God in heaven. Not only in heaven, but he's with us now. He walks with us. He speaks to us. He talks to us. Some people believe that God speaks to everybody, but do you know that that's not the case? The Bible says that in order for you to have a relationship with him, you must first place your faith and trust in Jesus. Check me on that. Look it up in the Bible. But that's one of the things that aren't really honestly taught accurately, that we must be forgiven before we have this relationship where we have an opportunity to walk with him and speak with him. So it's an interesting teaching, but I'm not going to go there this morning. When we talk about these kind of things about the Lord, I just recognize that it's very, very bizarre, right? I can actually relate to anyone in this room today who says, listen, that's just too crazy. That's just too far-fetched for me to believe. Jesus being raised from the dead after 3 days. Come on, this is just fantasy. And so what I've reconciled myself to today is that there are probably three groups of people in this room. I started with a lot more, but I've whittled it down now to about three. Here are the three groups that I believe are here listening today. The first group, they just simply don't believe, right? You're here because either mom or grandma or someone wanted you to be here, and you're not interested in anything that I have to say, and you may not have even, you know, cared for the words of the music. You just want to get home because there's Easter candy waiting for you and a ham dinner, right? And you don't want to give that up, so you had to come to church to come here. And I totally understand that, and I am glad that you're here. Right? And then there's a second group. This is an interesting group. Now listen to me and see if this may identify the category that you're in. There are people who say that they believe. And they're like, yeah, I think Jesus really did live. I really do think he died on the cross. I do think he rose from the grave. And I believe. And so according to what I've been told and what I understand, that gets me into heaven. And I'm grateful for that. But I really don't know how that applies to my life today. You know, like, what's that got to do with the here and now? I've already said I believe that. So there's nothing left. I really don't need to be here. And I acknowledge that you're here, and I'm glad that you're here, too. And then there's this third group. And this third group, typically when I see them, they're like, they're strange. Right? I think we make a mistake in the church by pretending like they're not, but they are. They're weird. They're like smiling ear to ear. You know, and it's like when you talk to them, they're like, no, everything's going to be okay. And I've got faith and trust in the Lord. And so they're like giddy, weird, giddy kind of people. And I mean, they're freaks. And so you encounter them and you just go, what's gotten into them? You know, that they like, don't they know that what they're facing? Yeah, I just lost my job, but God's going to take care of me. And yeah, well, you know, we're struggling with paying our bills, but it's going to be okay. Like, have this like eternal euphoria that you go, what medication are you on? Because it you're too happy for this, right? So there are those people here today, and I'm glad that you're here as well. Now you decide which category you're in, right? So there's pressure for me as a pastor today, because here's the task that's been given to me. I'm supposed to come up with a message for all three of those different kinds of people. Right. I'm supposed to have a message that speaks to people who don't believe at all, because this is a great day, and they're here, whether they want to be or not, they're here. And then we got people who go, I've already heard it, and there's not a thing that you're going to tell me that's going to matter to me, because, hey, by the way, I'm saved. And then you got the people that go, give it to me, Pastor, you know? Praise the Lord! Here he goes! You know, and they love this kind of stuff, right? And so I'm supposed to say something to you that moves all three of you. And that can be challenging. So I'm struggling with this. I'm thinking, what do I share today when I've got such a vast array of different people here? And it really came down to thinking about what I want you to know about me most, right? And did you ever play this game? Did someone ever ask you, if you could have anything you want in life, what would you want, right? And so some people go, well, you know, a non-ceasing source of income would be really good. I'd like a lot more wealth. And some people would say, I just want to be popular. I want people to like me. And, you know, some people would say, well, great health would be good. You know, some people in here would say season tickets to the Braves game, you know, would be fine. I'll take that. And here's what I want you to know about me. And I want you to know, this is the truth. If I could have anything at all, if God said to Rick Cadle today, you can have anything you want, here's what I would ask for. I would ask that you would fall madly in love with Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Now you say, well, yeah, you've got to say that. That God knows my heart. And if I just lied to you, can I just tell you the rest of this isn't going to go very well, right? That is the honest to goodness truth. If I could have anything, I would ask God that you would know his son in such a way that you could not resist him, that you would be so madly in love with him that he would impact your life from this day forward forever and ever and ever and ever. And, that's what I think might happen for some of you today. Because I want that so badly, I just thought to myself, what do we do to come up with the perfect sermon? Because people who are here on a regular basis know this about me. I am not the perfect pastor. And I'm not afraid to tell you that or admit that. But I would sure want the perfect sermon for you to hear today. And if we could have our choice of speakers, I was thinking about this with Dave's Highway. I thought, you know, all these great people that Dave's Highway opened for and worked with, you know, Bo Bice and Ricky Skaggs and Mark Schultz and all these great people. Well, how about this? How about if you got to work with Jesus Christ, right? Like, what if Jesus would present the message today? Like, that'd be awesome. That'd be perfect. And as you can tell today by me being here, he is not here. I mean, he's here, but he's not the one speaking to you. That's why I'm standing up here now. So I had to go with the next best thing. I had to go with what Jesus said when he had an opportunity to speak to large crowds. And we've got a large crowd here this morning. You can't see it, but the balcony is pretty full. And balcony, you can't see the floor, but the floor is pretty full. And before you leave, you ought to meet some people down here because they're pretty good-looking people. And you need to meet some of the people up there and get together. But anyway, so we've got a pretty cool large crowd here. So I thought, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. What Jesus says is best anyway. And so what do I do? What's the theme? What did he say when he had large crowds? And so I looked it up. So the same thing you and I could do. And I found this passage in Luke chapter 8, and in fact, I think it's in Luke chapter 8, verse 4 was the verse that caught my attention. Listen to what Jesus said when he was speaking to this large crowd. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 says this. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. And when I read that, I thought, that's it. I know that this is it. Here's why. Jesus is not only attracting a good-sized crowd. He's attracting people, not just from people that are just outside of the town. He's not attracting people who live just across the street of Wade Green Road or just around the... He's attracting people from outside of the town. Right? So people are traveling long distances to see this guy because of what he's saying. So I thought, I want to share that information. That's what I want to share. And he's going to tell him a parable. I love telling stories. Like, I like using illustrations and I like using personal applications. And I think those analogies, they go a long way. So I thought, this is for me. This is the message. I can't wait to share this with you guys. So listen to what he says. In verses 5 through 8 of Luke chapter 8, he says, "A farmer went out to sow seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." When he had said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." There you go. That's what he said. And like in a modern day sense, he takes off his microphone and he walks off the stage. And he really, for all intents and purposes, he says, if you get it, you're going to get it. And if you don't get it, you don't get it. Sorry about that, but there you go. That's my message. And I want to take that message because he's got a large crowd. And I want to say, what? I mean, all these people have come to hear this great, profound teaching. And we want some clarification about why you're here and who you really are and how this whole thing works with following you. And you're going to talk about seed and dirt with people? And so I started looking at that. I thought, how does that work? And what I realized was that he was actually kind of teasing them, that he was giving them something that they would come back for a little bit more. And I thought, that's brilliant. And we find that in verses 9 through 10 of Luke chapter 8, where it says, his disciples, the men who were following him and women, he asked him what this parable meant. And he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." Now, I've heard it said before that the reason Jesus taught with parables is so that he could simplify the message so that you and I would understand it better. But that's not what he just said, was it? Jesus said that he speaks in parables so that people that are looking right at him, they don't recognize who he really is. And people that are listening to the words that he's speaking, they don't hear them for their true meaning and the impact that they can potentially make in their lives. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is kind of new to me. I mean, Jesus is actually intentionally not letting them know everything that they could know, understand everything that they could understand. I mean, some of these people are just going to pass this off as another strange teaching from another strange guy. So why did he do that? He tells us. He tells us so that people who weren't really interested would simply walk away and not be affected. But those who were interested in knowing him better, they would come after him. And they would seek more of what he had to say. And they would see him live the way that he tells us we too could live. You see, he's telling them, this isn't a short and sweet message for you. This is a way of life. This is a lifestyle that you can follow, not just a message. And so he's not giving them the whole enchilada with that one message. And it's like Jesus was saying that the ones who really want to know the truth, they're going to come after me. And the ones that think that all I'm talking about is dirt, they're the ones that are going to say, in all honesty, it really wasn't a great message. But the disciples or the followers, they immediately ask him, what does this mean? And so Jesus goes into a great explanation. Here's what he says. He says, the seeds that we sow, they're a lot like the Word of God. And so here's the deal. The Word of God is being shared just like it is today with you. And he goes into this explanation that every once in a while, some seeds are going to be sown and it's just going to be ignored. It's just going to be flatly rejected. In fact, there are going to be people who are listening that aren't listening. They're not going to hear a word that you said. If you go back and ask them one single thing that was mentioned in the sermon this morning, they know nothing. They don't care, right? It's got stuff again. I've heard it all. Blah, blah, blah. And I've already gone too long for their liking because they've got a ham dinner and Easter candy waiting for them at home. So it's like, just wrap this up, Pastor, because it's time for us to get home. And I totally understand that. And Jesus says you're going to have people like that. And then Jesus says you're going to have people who hear the word and it's going to make sense to them. And they're going to go, yeah, that sounds pretty good. But there's no follow up to it. They don't do anything after they hear it. Right. And it just withers. It just dies. There's no root to it. And then he said, there are going to be people who go, yes, I want this Jesus. And they're going to place their faith and trust in him, they think. But then all of a sudden, when they face adversity and hardship and trial, they think to themselves, I didn't know this came with that. I had that before Jesus. And they're just going to kind of ignore him after that. And then there are going to be people who just are bombarded with life, right? Work and home and all these crazy things with all these crazy people. And so all of a sudden, those things are major distractions, and those things become equal to them as a relationship with God would be, and it chokes them out. Right. It takes precedence in their life. And so suddenly they don't have this amazingly close walk with the Lord that Jesus is offering us. But he says there will be these people, these kind of giddy, kind of strange, kind of weird people that when the seed hits them, it hits some really soft hearts. And it gets planted in there and it gets rooted. And suddenly these people begin to grow. And they begin to understand what Jesus is saying. And they start understanding the word of God. And they start living that way. And all of a sudden, they are these giddy, happy, joy-filled people that people go, I don't know what you got, but, you know, I hope it's not catching because you're different. And they go, I've got the love of God. And it becomes so powerful and so present in their life that they overflow with this love for God and this love for others. They genuinely care about other people more than they care about themselves. Right? How crazy is that? Those are the people that Jesus is explaining in that story. They get it. Jesus goes on in chapter 8. It's not on the screen, but you can check me on this. And he starts talking about, here's the deal with light. Light was never meant to be hidden. Light is supposed to shine. And so these people's light should not be a quiet secret. A little later in the gospel, according to Luke, you know, he talks about some other things. But as I'm studying this passage, I'm just thinking, I would not share that message to this crowd. I would not share this with you because that is not compelling enough. Like, that's just not exciting enough. It's actually kind of harsh and rough. And I don't think that people are going to be compelled to believe. So I started praying about this and I started believing that Jesus essentially saying, you just need to tell him the truth. And my concern is that not everyone will believe, but Jesus's greater concern is those that will are the ones that want him most. And they desire him. The ones that won't, it's not like they're not being told. So I'm thinking, you know what, maybe Jesus was just a little off of his game on that day. You know, if that's even possible, can Jesus be off his game? Probably not. But maybe, so I start searching the scripture a little bit later, and look what I find in Luke 14. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. Again, it says large crowds. So immediately it attracts my attention for today. It says large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And I'm wondering if the disciples are going, what? When they're listening, right? Like, are the disciples going, Jesus, you can't tell them that. You've got a large crowd here. You've got a captive audience. You've got to tell them that you want to be their friend. You tell them that when they believe in you, that life gets easier, not harder. Are you kidding me? You're going to tell them that if they want to follow you, they've got to take up a cross and be willing to give their life sacrificially to wherever you lead them to go and do whatever you lead them to do, I mean, how well is that actually going to go over with your large crowd? And I want to apologize for Jesus. Right? I mean, I want to step up when I hear him say that and go, he's not talking to you. Relax. I mean, there's some crazy people out there, some messed up people, and they've got messed up families. That's who he's talking to. He's not talking to you here today. He didn't see the van that you drove in on the back bumper that says that you're raising an honor roll student. Right? He doesn't know that. Right? Some of you in here, you're pretty successful. He's not telling you to hate your own life. No, this message can't be for you. But in all honesty, that's how madly in love he tells us that we should be about him. And he asks us that if we're ready to follow him, he's not going to sugarcoat it. He's going to shoot straight with us. And maybe he does that because the truth is that Jesus really is that great. And maybe he's really worth that kind of devotion and attention and sacrifice. Now, I'll be honest with you. I wonder this morning how badly we want to know the truth. Some of you know this about my wife. Cindy's going through some health challenges right now. And so our doctors, her doctors, have told her that she has to watch what she's eating and eat a little more healthy. The funny thing behind that is we thought we were eating healthy. But what they told us to do is we said, here's good stuff for your body. Here's bad stuff for your body. And so what you need to start doing is you have to start reading the labels of what you're eating and find out the ingredients before you eat it, because this bad stuff can hurt your wife in the condition that she's in right now. So that's what we're doing now. Now we're actually reading these labels. And I'm just going to tell you, if you've ever done that and if you're aware of what's good and bad in food, it's not a fun process to go through. Right? So like Cindy will say to me before I eat something, she'll say, did you read that label? And I want to hide it from her because I really like this and I don't want to read the label, because if it doesn't taste good, I don't get to have it, or at least I'll eat it, but I don't feel as good about it as I did before I knew what was on the label. Right? That's kind of what we're going through. Well, there are families here today that treat God that way, I think. Right? We want to believe what we want to believe because it makes us happy. But Jesus doesn't care as much about our happiness as he does about the plan that he has for our lives, offering salvation and an ongoing walk with him. And when I think about that, I think about, I've got to tell you the truth. I mean, I owe that to you. In our society today, people say you have to be tolerant about what other people believe. And you have to be sensitive about those beliefs. But I ask you this, what if what they believe is a lie? And what if what they believe will cause them to have eternal separation from the God who created them? Would it be loving not to tell them the truth, even though it may not be what they believe or what they expect to hear? And so I think the real question that I want to leave you with today is this, and this is for everyone here, okay? If you are an atheist today or an agnostic, I want you to know that this question is for you. And if you're a pastor here today or you're a Sunday school teacher, this question is for you as well. And then like everybody in between, this is the question that I have for you. Do you want to know the truth about God, even if it is different from what you believe? Do you really want to know the truth about God if it goes against what you were told when you were growing up? Do you really want to know the truth about God even though people who you trusted and you had confidence in told you something different? Because some of you have been told that everyone goes to heaven. And some of you have been told that all gods are the same God. And some of you have been told that all these gods lead you to this one great heaven. And you have to understand that that does not line up with the truth that is shared in the inspired word of God. So do you want to know the truth, or do you want to stay in your own little world believing what you want to believe because it makes you happy and you're comfortable. Most people believe what they want to believe, not what's absolutely true, because sometimes it's hard to deal with the truth. So do you really want to know the truth? Because Jesus says there's a benefit to knowing the truth. Jesus said the truth will set you free. And the question is, do you want to be free? Do me a favor, pull these plastic bags out that hopefully everyone was given today. If you did not get one of these, raise your hand because we've got some people that would be glad to give them to you. So guys, come on in. We've got a few hands here, right down here this row. We've got some people. Just raise your hand so you can get one. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, hey, you tell me what you're going to do with this bag before I ask for one, right? I totally get that, but you don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. Here's what I want you to do. Once you get that bag, go ahead and open it up. Pull this piece of paper out. And pull the pencil that we provided for you. And what I want you to do with this bag is I want you to consider what Romans 3:23 says. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that means that you and I have an opportunity to recognize our sin in our life. Some of you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and you've been forgiven, and that's wonderful. But we still have committed sins, right? So go ahead and write the sins that you've committed down on this piece of paper. We got a lot bigger laugh in the first service. Yeah, and I know the problem, right? I didn't give you enough paper. Just write down a few, right? And let me help you with this. Have you ever told a lie? The answer is yes. Have you ever stolen anything? I bet you have. Yeah. Have you been dealing with an addiction that you thought only caused you harm, but you didn't recognize that it's killing the people around you that love you? Have you had an abortion that causes you so much pain and you're afraid to tell anybody? Have you hurt someone very, very badly? And you know that it scarred them, and you recognize that you did it because you yourself have been scarred? Yeah, anything that you've done that's sin, you just go ahead and jot it down. I'm going to take a moment, and I'm going to do it as well. And just as many as you can think of. And as you write those down, I want you to think about this. Look at the piece of paper. And this is what Romans 6:23 says. That the wages of this list is death. Death isn't just dying because you're all going to die. It's eternal separation from God. That's what the Bible says. That's the truth. And so these things that I've done means that unless these things are forgiven, I will never have a relationship with the God who created me and who loves me madly. So in order to be reconciled, these things have to be forgiven. And the challenging part of this whole thing is that people will say, what makes that true? You say that. The Bible says that, but what makes it true? I'm going to tell you this one time, and I hope you take this for what it's worth. Jesus makes it true. Because Jesus is the truth. And he says so in John 14:6, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he shares one of the most important truths that you'll ever hear in your lifetime. No one comes to the Father but by me. Right? You have to get to him. You have to go through me. You have to believe in me. You have to place your faith and trust in me. You start to follow the one who you say God sent to die for your sins. The word salvation means deliverance from sin. And Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So in order for our lives to be made right with God, the one who deserves your full devotion and your mad love, you must have those sins paid for and be forgiven. So do you want those sins to be forgiven? Ask yourself that question this morning. If you do, let me tell you what the Bible says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he was his son, that he is the Savior, the Bible tells us you will be saved. Right? So all that other junk, all that other crazy stuff that people says you have to do in order to be saved, not true. The truth is you have to believe in who Jesus says he is and who God says he is. He's his son. He died for these sins. And so when we say to him, I want forgiveness and I believe you're the one that was sent to grant me that, I'm placing my faith and trust in who God says you are, you can be saved. In fact, Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. So this is a question that I have for you this morning as we close. Is the Lord speaking to you right now? Right? Because just check out your list. If those things aren't forgiven, you have no hope. Except for the hope that Jesus offers you for the forgiveness of those things. Those things that you wrote, as well as those things that you didn't write down, that you know are wrong. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes?